I'm gonna start off with a slight confession. When I first got married, I had no idea what I was doing. You know, you could read the book or read books on it. You could study the passage of scripture, but it's like until you get in it, like you have no idea. Jane's gonna beat me. He's gonna marry. He's 22, so he's been married in a couple months, and I was 23. And looking back, like, man, I was 23 when I got married, and just like how much growth I had since then. And when Meredith and I got married, we came from like really opposite families, like especially in communication. So y'all know me, like I can be like pretty direct, and I've gotten a lot better over the years with my communication. But you should have met me when I was 23, man. I was like a little too hot. And then Meredith was like the opposite, like really reserved, wouldn't open up, wouldn't share. So then you put us in a marriage together, and you got Jared being direct, asking a question, or you know, naming something, and then you got Meredith from her family background of like, we don't talk about our feelings or our problems, and like clam up. And then man, when we were trying to figure it out, like I'd mention something, and then it would be like kind of blow up for a bit, and then I'd have to like wait sometimes like 2 or 3 weeks to bring it up again. And I was like, oh man, we have to like really figure out like how to do this. And so, you know, eventually as we grew in our marriage, like we both got healthier and to the point where it's like, we're married for 15 years this year. Like we can stay at the table and talk. Like if we talk about something, we could stay there. We could be respectful and loving. We could communicate appropriately. Like no one's gonna say like, hey, I need like a couple days or weeks to like think about this and process. It's like, we got to the point where it's like, oh, we can like talk about things in a really healthy way. And so we're in our Building Strong Family series. And this applies to everyone. Because if you're single and you want to get married, the best time to get ready for marriage is now. Is like get prepared now and get as healthy as you can now. Like if you are married, this is like perfect for all of us, right? Of like how do we grow healthier the way God has designed marriage? Or if you're getting ready to get married, like you're engaged and you're in there. Or let's say like you've separated and you're not with a spouse or with a partner like that. You can look back on your own life and, you know, heal up a bit. And then also, how can then you support other people in their marriages and you could pray for them? So this message, this scripture applies to everyone, no matter where we're at, but we might be in different spaces in our life with it. So we're going to study the scriptures today and look at a bit more after our DBS of God's design for marriage with what he has for us. So let's read verses 21 through 24. And it says, and further, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. For wives, this means submit to your husbands as to the Lord. For a husband is the head of his wife as Christ is the head of the church. He is the savior of his body, the church. And as the church submits to Christ, so you wives should submit to your husbands in everything. So what we're looking at here is God has a design for marriage. So God has a design for marriage. And I don't know if when you read this the first time today or like you're reading it here or hearing it again, you're like, this is totally countercultural. Like, this goes against a lot of how the world says to do marriage. And, like, if people didn't know Jesus read this scriptures, they might actually be offended at what we just read. Like, why should a wife submit to her husband? Like, that a wife should never have to do that. But when Jesus designed something, it always leads to life. It'll always lead to life when we do it God's way. And when we step out of God's design in anything, specifically in marriage, we're going to have a ton of issues in our marriage unless we submit to Jesus and do what he says to do according to the word. And you may think like, all right, you know, it sounds like really hard. God says to do this in terms of the authority structure of a wife submitting. We'll talk about what that means as we go forward to her husband. But we have to think about Jesus because he's the one who set the example for us. Like he submitted to the Father, right? So when he came to the earth, like he knew why he was coming. He was going to have to live the life without sin, being surrounded by sin, being surrounded by Satan and all these demons, and have to not sin, have to endure the beatings, the torture, the cross, and all that stuff. And you know why he did it? Because he submitted to the Father. The Father said, Jesus, this is what I'm going to ask you to do. Well, I'm telling you to do it. And Jesus said, hey, Father, is there another way I can get out of this? Is there anything else I can do? You know, not my will, but your will be done. And eventually Jesus said, okay, I submit, Father, I'm going to do it. So we have to remember, like, Jesus set the example for us of what it means to submit to the Father. And even in verse 21, it says submit out of reverence to Christ to one another, right? So it's not just one over the other. It's like you actually submit, you work together as a team. So as we step into this, God's design for marriage is a team, right? So God wants us to be a team, and in that team, God has leadership positions within the family context. So when you read the word submit, the Greek means to come under or to obey. And a way to think about it, think about the words honor or respect. So when you honor or respect, that means that you're submitting. So think about, like, you know, everyone's probably worked for someone, right? So when you work for someone, when you submit to your employer, you're honoring what their request is, right? You're obeying or respecting what they're asking you to do. So this scripture begins to outline for us God's design for a healthy marriage and what he desires marriage to be like. So wives, in the same way we come under Jesus and we follow him, the scriptures say come under the leadership of your husband. So in the same way that we come under the leadership of Jesus and we follow him, it says wives, come under the leadership of your husband and follow them. So I know some wives may be like, you want me to follow the leadership of my husband? And that's what the scriptures say, is come under the leadership of your husband and follow him. So one of the things that first goes off in my head is like, and maybe even for yourself, like, would I want to follow me? Like, if you're the husband, like, would I want to follow me? And if you wouldn't want to follow yourself, I mean, why would anyone else want to follow you, right? Like, if I wouldn't want to follow me, I mean, I might hit the eject button. I'd ask myself the hard question of like, why wouldn't I want to follow me? I got to look in the mirror and look at myself. So it says Jesus is the head of the church, and this means that he's in charge of the entire church, and we take our directions from him. So just as the church is directed to follow Jesus in all matters, so the wife is directed to follow her husband in all matters. So I'll say it one more time, because that's really like locked in key, is just as we as the church, hey ladies, welcome, we're so glad you're here. So just as the church, we follow Jesus in all matters, it says that the wives are to follow their husbands in all matters. And so we have to think like, am I a husband that's worthy of being followed? Am I a wife that is submitted to my husband? Am I honoring him and respecting him and following his leadership? And I'll be honest with you, in our marriage, like, I haven't made good decisions sometimes. And my wife, you know, she's chosen to follow my leadership, even though she might not agree with my decision or I made a bad decision, because she says, I'm going to obey God's word. Because if I obey, she's learned, and we talk about it, like, if I obey God's word, I remain under his covering and his protection, and God will hold my husband responsible. So when the wife follows the husband's leadership, even though she might not agree with it, the husband has to take shoulder that leadership and lead the family as he follows after Jesus and submits to him. So you have to think, like, the husband's not just this, like, bravado dude who's just, like, telling his family what to do. The scriptures say the husband's submitted under Jesus Christ, right? So if we're submitted under Jesus Christ, and then the wife is submitted under the husband, we see the authority structure that Jesus has created for healthy families. And I wrote this down. I think this is important to say. So the importance of marrying God's spouse for you, not the spouse that you choose. Because if you choose a spouse, like a husband or a wife that you want to marry, and they're not a believer, or they're not going to really follow Jesus, I mean, your marriage is going to have some significant issues, because you're not coming from the same worldview of following Jesus together. So what you want to do, and I'd recommend, this is what Jaden did, is with the fiance now, Chloe, they fasted and prayed together and separately at different times, and they both got a word from God and knew that they were called to get married. And that's the best thing you could do, because if Jesus is in it, he gives you the word, then you know you're in his will. And that's how Meredith and I, we got married. We both had a word from God independently. And I didn't want to be the creepy guy that said, hey, God, so I'm going to marry you. And I didn't want to do that. But she brought it up indirectly to me two weeks later after I got the word. And I said, did you just say God said, or you got a word from God, we're going to get married? She said, yeah. I said, that's crazy, because 2 weeks ago I got a similar word. And so we knew we were in God's will. So you want to marry the spouse that God has designed for you. Some people may say, like, God doesn't choose your spouse. I mean, Jesus is the most important decision, and then, like, your spouse, like, determines your life. I would say that Jesus is totally in that decision, and he has the right person designed for you. And I want to encourage, like, single people, like don't fall short. Like, don't lower your standards to get in a relationship. Like, it's worth the wait that Jesus, you wait for the right person he has. Because, man, you're going to live with that person your whole life that you're going to marry to. Like, God, like I don't even say like the word about when people separate. It's not in our vocabulary, right? The person that you're going to be with your whole life. Like, you're going to wake up with that person and have to look at them when they've been drooling all night, right? I'm just kidding. You're like, what? Yeah, like that's like the reality of marriage. Okay, so God's spouse, go after Jesus. Who do you want me to marry? Line them up, fast and pray. He will set you up with that right person he's designed for you. And I know, like, so I try and put myself in my wife's shoes, being married to me, or in like the shoes of a woman who's married to a husband. And I hear that phrase, what if my husband, I mean, you fill in the blank, right? What if he's a jerk? What if he like doesn't help out with the kids? What if, like, you could make up all these things. Did you notice that it didn't say if your husband's a nice guy, submit to him? Like, it says submit to your husband, right? Or if he doesn't do these things, it says submit to your husband. So women, like, I heard it was over here in this group. Man, the women have a short, like, kind of couple verses. The men have a lot of verses because it more falls on the men. We'll get there. But women, you have really, women, wives, you have one job. It's simply to respect your husbands. And if you can respect your husband, you will step into God's design for marriage and it will thrive. And when women disrespect their husbands or have tones that are not God-honoring, the husband most likely is not going to take that well if he isn't in a good spot of like, okay, respond in love rather than in like lack of love. And so you'll begin to see that God has designed marriages for women to respect their husbands and for men to love their wives. And when we do this, we step into God's design for marriage. I had a dream. This is like more than a few years ago now. And in the dream, it was a God dream. My wife and another female I had a proximity with, they were both treating me really disrespectfully in my dream. And it was helpful that the other person was in my dream because they were like crazy disrespectful. And then it helped me confirm like what God was communicating with my wife, not being respectful. And I woke up, I was so mad. I was like, God, she's being so disrespectful to me. Da, da, da. You know what God said to me? He said, shut your mouth and pray and do the hard work. And I said, yes, Lord. I never brought up to her that she's being disrespectful to me. What I chose to do is I chose to do the hard work that we'll get into. It says, husbands, love your wives and shut your mouth and pray and do the hard work. And so I share that just like, you know, Meredith, we're like more healthy now than we were like 15 years ago and 10 years ago to show the journey that we've been through as we've had to figure things out in our marriage. So God had to teach my wife how to fulfill her role as a respectful wife in our marriage. And I didn't say anything, right? It was, I prayed and I did my part. Because the moment you start to point the finger at your spouse, Satan's already won. The only person you should be pointing your finger at is the person in the mirror. Because if we take responsibility for ourselves, ownership for ourselves, and we work on ourselves, our marriages will begin to thrive. Because if you notice, like, if you work on yourself, sometimes other people around you begin to change. But if you try and change other people, use that word control, man, I can tell you husbands don't like to be controlled. So the moment a wife becomes controlling, that's going to create that conflict that God has not designed for marriage. It's the opposite of the word submit in a healthy way that he's designed. So let's look at verses 25 through 30. It says, for husbands, this means love your wives just as Christ loved the church. He gave up his life for her to make her holy and clean, washed by the cleansing of his word. He did this to present her himself as a glorious church without spot or wrinkle or without blemish. Instead, she'll be holy without fault. In the same way, husbands ought to love their wives as they love their own bodies. For a man who loves his wife actually shows love for himself. No one hates his own body, but feeds it and cares for it just as Christ cares for the church. And we are members of his body. So Jesus sets this standard for men, for us as husbands, and it's really high. He basically said, Jesus says, as I love the church, you got to love your wife. And remember how Jesus loved the church? When I think about Jesus being in heaven and looking down at the mess of creation and being like, I'm going to go down to those people because I love them and I'm going to live in their mess. And then they're going to betray me. They're going to torture me. They're going to literally crucify me, put nails in me, and I'm going to suffocate to death, taking on their sin. So that's what Jesus did. And that's the standard he sets for us as husbands. He says, just like I died, like you get to die too as a husband and live to love your wife. Because a lot of people are like, oh, I'm so excited to get married. It's going to be great and fun, which it is. And marriage is death. No, it really is. Like, marriage is death. You literally have to die to yourself to fulfill God's design for marriage. Men die, women die. And when you die to yourselves, you actually get the resurrection life of Jesus in your marriage. And so you have to do the hard work of dying to yourself, which is basically doing the opposite of everything you want to do, is really what it is. Like, marriage is going to draw all that stuff out of you, and Jesus is saying, like, what are you going to do with it? Are you going to obey my word, or are you going to go your own way? And, like, too, I've shared this before, like, my parents weren't believers, and there was violence in the house, and it was just, like, it was a huge mess, right? Screaming, yelling, wake up to that, like, physically hit, like, all these crazy things. It was like, man, if they would have just done what Jesus said in the word, like, my family might still be together today, right? But they're not. So God's design for marriage leads to the longevity and health of his design for us as marriages, in our marriages. So men, this means that we got to be the first to serve, right? This means we got to be the first to serve. If you got kids, this means that we're helping with the kids. We're doing dishes. We're doing yard work. We're checking in with our wives. We're creating space for them. We're meeting her needs. And I can hear some husbands saying in myself at times, like, well, what is she supposed to do? Like, if I'm doing everything, like, what is she supposed to do? And if you're asking that question, you're getting the point, because you're the one that's serving the most and first, and she's going to follow along behind you. Because as husbands, when we fulfill our role, wives will naturally follow behind and fulfill their roles that God has designed for them. So as husbands, we have to take the leadership in our family. So with that said, wives, hear me out on this. If you want husbands to take leadership in your family, you have to let them lead. This means stop controlling your husband. Stop telling them what to do. Let them learn how to be leaders in the family. Let them make mistakes, right? I've made so many mistakes in my marriage, and I've learned from them, right? And so, wives, you got to step back. Instead of telling your husbands what to do, why not ask them a question? Say, hey, this is going on. What do you think we should do? I could almost guarantee most husbands and wives, if you ask them a question about what they want to do, the husband will feel very empowered. Because my guess is if you've been controlling and telling them what to do, you've disempowered your husband. And he's totally like, well, if you're just going to like run everything, like, okay, I'm just going to back off and disconnect. So if you're like, my husband's disconnected, you can't say my husband is disconnected and point at him. You have to look in the mirror and say, why is he disconnected? Right? So you have to look at yourself. And so if you say, hey, we had talked about this, like, what do you think is a good solution for it? Let him choose the solution. Even if you don't agree with it, even if you know it's going to fail for whatever reason, like, let him do it, and he will learn to take leadership, and you come under him in his leadership and trust God to lead your husband. So this means that wives, and I said this earlier about myself. So wives, that means like we close our mouths and we submit to Jesus, like literally get on our knees before him, pray for your husband, pray for yourself probably some more, right? And husbands should be doing the same thing that we talked about earlier. So as husbands and fathers, we are responsible for our family's success and flourishing. So if there's family issues going on in our marriages or with our kids, it means that we as husbands and fathers need to take action according to God's word. So it's us as men taking that position of leadership to serve our families. So just as Jesus leads the church through service, we lead our families, our marriages through serving them. So remember, Jesus, he did the heavy and hard work by setting an example of how to live and how to die. So marriage is an example, or marriage is all about us dying to ourselves and following Jesus' example. And if we're willing to do that, man, we're going to have the marriage that God has designed for us. And let's be real. Like, a lot of husbands and wives, like, are on phones, TV. I mean, you name the distraction. Like, other people I know, like, they'll just go out and, like, work on their car because they don't want to be around their wife. Or, like, they'll go golfing. I never said yesterday, like, we were prayer walking. Like, the husbands just go golfing to escape their wives and their kids. But it's not to escape, right? It's to reach. It's the motive behind it. And so, husbands, wives, this means we really got to cut the clutter out and be present with our spouses, present with our kids. So like for me, when I finish like my work day, which is like very fluid in evenings and things, I put my phone in the room face down, or I put it in the drawer so my phone's not a distraction, so that I'm fully present with my wife and my kids when I'm there. And that's been one of the things that I've done that helps me be more present. And then two, like something I'll do is I will spend special time with my kids every day. So like in the evenings, like when one's taking the shower or the bath, like I'll spend time with the other one. It's our special time. They get to choose what we do. So Ander loves doing Duolingo because he loves to learn Spanish. So we're doing that. Emery, she's literally like, I just want to talk. So like, I'll just sit with Emery and she'll just talk. And I'm just listening. Or she'll want to read a book or play with her dolls or something like that, right? And so it's like me being intentional with my kids. So if you think about like our own bodies, it says about husbands here, like you love your own body. Like we do that by sleeping, by eating food, drinking water, put some electrolytes in, right? We mostly hopefully like dress ourselves. Like we take care of our body, right? In the same way, he says, husbands, like take care of your wives. So one of the things that I'll do with Meredith is this is what we do. We'll do like a check-in and I'll say, hey, what's your number? What that means is like on a scale 1 to 10, like 10 is like, I'm doing awesome. One means like I need a vacation from you and everything else, right? She's like, what's your number? And then when she tells me her number, I know where she's at. Like, so if she's at like a 6, hey, what do you need to be a 7? And so she'll tell me like, hey, tonight, like, can I just have a break? And can I get out of the house? Yep, we'll make it happen. Get out of the house. I'll take the kids, put them to bed, do all that stuff. If she's like at a 3 or a 4, I was like, all right, deep check-in. Like, what do you need? How do we get it? Because I found that like our families, I'm going to speak for myself, but like for our family, if Meredith is doing well, like our family's gonna operate great. If she's not doing well, it's gonna affect everything. And so my role is if I can check in with her and help her be healthy and strong first, and then she'll also ask me, hey, what's your number? And I'll tell her, and like I'm more vocal, so I'll just, my naturally personality style, like, hey, I need this, can we make it happen? Like for me, like on Thursday is my Sabbath, so I was like, can I just like get out of the area? Like I went to Laguna Beach and I just like sat on the rocks like the whole day. And I came back a different person. I was like, all right, I'm ready for like the next couple months, but I was like kind of crashing. So she made that space for me as well. And one of the other things I wrote down here, I think it's helpful to hear, is like if our wife is worn out, it's a signal to fulfill our role as a husband, right? So if our wife is worn out, what do we need to do to help our wife get back in the spot where she is continuing to be healthy and thriving? We have this phrase in our family, it's called dig deep. It's just like, when hell's breaking loose and we got responsibilities and it's just hard, like we just say, dig deep. That's what we say to each other. It means like, hold it together. You got to push through. We got to make it work. So husbands, sometimes we got to dig deep to build our families. This means that it takes intentionality. It takes planning, sacrifice, putting them first. So basically like we as husbands, we get to design our families. And we do that with Jesus. And so husbands is like, I mean, there's like really no book like on how to, I mean, there's books, but like, it's like when you're in it, you're like learning how to do it. I found for me, like one of the most helpful things is like talking to other men about what's it like to be a husband or a dad and like learning from others who are farther along, or maybe they're even peers or younger than me, but they have great experience and I want to be able to learn from them. So asking those questions with them or with mentors. And then the biggest thing is like, not only asking the questions, but having the humility to make the changes, right? So it's like, I gotta make the change. This comes to mind right now, and I'm gonna say it because I think it's really important. We talked about the role of a wife is to respect her husband. I would encourage all wives here, and then that are listening to this in the future, literally take time this week to ask your husband, what does it mean for me to respect you? And then don't say anything, just take notes. And if you're gonna say anything, ask questions. Don't try and say, oh, I do that, or I did that, or you didn't, whatever. Again, the finger needs to go from them to you, like the person in the mirror, right? And just say, hey, what would it mean for me to be able to show you respect? And then after you get those notes, do it. Just do it until it becomes a habit, and you will watch your marriage transform. Vice versa, husbands, hey, wife, what would it mean for me to like love you well? Take notes. Don't say anything except ask questions. And then if you do that, you'll see your marriage begin to thrive in a new way. One of the things that we do, I talked about the check-in 1 to 10, what do you need? We have like a yearly getaway. So Meredith is coming up in August. She'll take off for like, I don't know, 4 days or so. away from me, away from the kids. She goes up to Humboldt. We have some friends she stays with that are like 60 years old that are friends there. And I don't even talk to her during those 4 days. Like, nothing. She's like fully off the grid from us, unless there's an emergency. I do the same thing towards the end of the year. Some things we do too, like I do to help her out. Like we tag team the kids and like everything. I do the dishes, I clean the house, I do all those things, sharing what I need. Like last night was one of those like gotta make it happen moments. So like I made dinner, I did the dishes, and I put the kids to bed. Because Meredith was working on this really cool activity for like kids discipleship. And I was like, well, she's gotta get it done and the kids gotta get in bed eventually. So I like just stepped up and take that. And then Meredith, we trade nights and we put the kids to bed. So let's begin to land this looking at verses 31 through 33. As the scriptures say, a man leaves his father and mother and is joined to his wife, and the two are united into one. This is a great mystery, but it's an illustration of the way Christ and the church are one. So again, I say, each man must love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband. So this is the key. If you want a healthy, thriving marriage in your life, whether it's like going to be in the future, or you got one now, or you're getting ready, husbands, if you can love your wives, and wives, if you respect your husbands. That's literally the way God has designed marriages to thrive and to be healthy. And so did you see the design God has? He says a man leaves his father and mother and unites with his wife, becoming one flesh. So this means that your life becomes one with the other person. And this is where, when it says they become one flesh, this is the power of sex. So when you have sex with someone, you actually unite with them and become one. Yeah, I know, you're like, oh man, I stepped into this service over here. They're talking about sex in the Bible. You know, God designed sex. It's a good thing. It's healthy. And he designed it to be within the context of marriage. Because if you have sex outside of marriage with all these different people, you, I don't know if you ever got caught in a spider web before. It like kind of catches you and you got get a couple spots. In the same way, when you have sex outside of marriage, outside of the covenant of marriage, you get caught in a spider web with all these people. Because it says you become one flesh. So there's like this soul connection that you connect with that person. And I've talked with people who've had sex with like hundreds of people, like legit. Can you imagine how fractured their sexuality and their soul is? Like they're connected to all these people. And that's why God designs it in the context of marriage, because he wants you to be connected to one person, not 100 or five or however many, right? Just one person. And you're like, man, I've messed up. I've had sex so many times outside of marriage. Well, there's a way you can resolve that. First, you ask Jesus to forgive you. And then you forgive the other person, and then you pray aloud to you. I just break every ungodly connection with this person, spirit, soul, body, sexuality, relationship, and I sever that in Jesus' name. And it breaks those connections. So it's pretty simple. Jesus can restore everything. So God's design for marriage is a team, right? And every team has a leader, a captain. Like we have Ethan, who was like the pro football player over there back in high school and all that stuff, right? Every team has a leader. And the leader determines how that team is and how that team functions, right? So husbands are the leaders and help create the team that functions together as one. So love and respect is the key for God's design for a healthy marriage. And I'll say this too, because I've worked with different people in marriages and discipleship, specifically for women. Respect doesn't mean agreement. So respect doesn't mean agreement. It's all about your heart posture, your communication, and your tone. So respect is about your heart posture, your communication, and your tone. Doesn't mean you agree, and you could share what you think, but in the end, like the Bible says, follow your husband's lead, and God, he'll be responsible to God, and continue to pray. So we each do our part, and our main part is the person in the mirror. So if we work on ourselves, we'll have a super healthy marriage. I'm gonna hand out a printout in just a second. It's from a book. Have you guys ever read Love and Respect by Eggersrich? Anyone? One person? Okay, cool. This will be great. It's basically going to design, or talk about the design for marriage. Like, how do you actually do this in a really healthy way? I'm going to grab that right now. All right, George is going to pass this out. Thank you, George. So you'll see the book is Love and Respect. And if you've never read this book or listened to it, I highly recommend that you read it, especially if you're married or if you want to get married one day. Focus on the section that talks about you, what you're supposed to do, not what your spouse is supposed to do. Focus on yourself. How many of y'all had you could be like someone you dated or a friend, but like especially in marriage, like one person says something and then one just gets so mad and they fire back at the other person, and it's just like this circle of like, they call it the crazy cycle. Anyone ever been caught in that before with your spouse or someone? Yeah, I could say like everyone's probably been there. Yeah, been through that. I heard over there. Okay. So without respect, you see the circle. He reacts without love. She reacts without respect. And it just goes in this crazy cycle. So the way you break it is if one spouse chooses, so the husband, which if the wife is disrespectful, and if he responds in love, it breaks the crazy cycle, or vice versa. So the idea is, how do you create a really healthy, energizing cycle? So men, the way you spell love to your wife is this couple, there's an acronym. It's closeness, openness, understanding, peacemaking, loyalty, esteem. So she wants to be close to you. She wants you to open up to her. She can talk about your feelings, what you're thinking, about your day and all that stuff. Don't try and fix her, just listen. It's one of the things I had to learn the most. Don't try and fix your wife, just listen to her. She wants you to say, I'm sorry, to like reconcile, apologize, ask forgiveness. Loyalty, she needs to know you're committed, like you're in the relationship. You're not messing around with anyone, but you're 100% in. Esteem, she wants you to honor and cherish her. And then chairs is how to spell respect your husband. Conquest, hierarchy, authority, insight, relationship, sexuality. So appreciate his desire to work and achieve. Appreciate his desire to protect and provide. Appreciate his desire to serve and lead. Appreciate his desire to analyze and counsel. Appreciate his desire for shoulder-to-shoulder friendship. And appreciate his desire for sexual intimacy. So what could be a good exercise is with your spouse, just say, hey, husband, how can I appreciate your desire to work and achieve? You literally go down the list and just take notes. You know, don't say anything unless you're going to ask questions to clarify. And husbands, we should take the lead and ask it first, right? Hey, what does it mean for me to be close to you? Take some notes. How can I open up to you better? Take some notes, right? Just go through each one. And then if you just practice one a day, I mean, your marriage will be like radically transformed. So for those of you that aren't married, I mean, you literally just got from the scriptures in a very practical way of like how to have a healthy marriage. And let's say you're not married and you're older. Like now you know the tools that you can coach and mentor other people in their marriages, and now you know how to pray for them better. So this is where everybody wins, because ultimately we're all part of a family and we get to be people that help bring that health to those families together. So here's what I want us to do. Let's take 2 minutes, and I want you to write down either on paper or on your phone, or if you have like a super memory, write down based upon the passage that we studied together. How are you going to obey Jesus this week? And then write down the name of one person that you're going to share with. So it's like, hey man, I got this like great nugget of like wisdom I learned from the Bible about how to have like a happy marriage. Most people want to know like, how do you have a happy marriage? Because a lot of marriages, like they have challenges, right? And so how do we have healthier marriages? So take a moment to write down how you can obey the passage this week and who's the one person you're going to share. And then after you write that down, share that with the person next to you. All right, so hopefully you guys wrote that down, how you're going to apply to your life this week, who you're going to share with. And then when we come back next week, when we do that check-in part of who did you share with, how did it go, and how did you obey, that's where you'll bring this into next week and how you lived it out. So let me pray for us, and then we'll wrap up our time together. So Jesus, we're super grateful that we can study your word and look at like how you've designed marriage to be healthy and strong and thrive, and to know like healthy marriages can be our norm as your people. And so Jesus, I want to pray over every marriage, whether we're married now or we'll be married in the future, or we're going to coach and help other marriages and pray for other marriages, because this applies to everyone. Jesus, we pray that you'd release grace for really strong and healthy marriages, that you would do the work that is necessary in us to bring freedom and healing, and even maybe like reflect on our family background of like the family we came out of to do things differently. And I pray, Jesus, for everyone that's looking to get married, I pray that you'd lead them to the right spouse you have for them at the right time. And I pray, Jesus, you would give them words, like a word from you to know, I'm supposed to marry this person, and that they would be set up for success, for a healthy marriage and a healthy family with kids in the future. And I pray for those who've been disappointed in this journey, in the process, and I've been there more than a few times. I pray, Jesus, that you'd restore that and redeem it, that you'd encourage them to not give up, to keep seeking you, and to know that those are all learning experiences. And I pray for those that aren't married at this point in their lives, maybe were, if there's any areas of the hearts that need healing, would you bring healing? And I pray that you would redeem their lives to bring health into other marriages, to pray for them, to encourage them, or to speak life in those, that we would all find our role in how to build a healthy family as a church and healthy families that we're a part of. So Holy Spirit, would you come? Would you fill our families? Would you fill our family lines? Would you redeem them and transform them by your grace? And Jesus, I want to pray for everyone's weeks coming up. I pray that you would author everyone's weeks, that you'd prepare the people that you want us to impact this week, to share the gospel with, to pray with, to encourage, to speak life to. When we see those moments, literally that maybe it's a big stop on the ground, like Laura shared earlier, we literally stop and go to the person that you're directing us to. And Jesus, I want to pray that you would give everyone wisdom this week in their jobs on the work site, or if their job is like stay-at-home mom, or if they're in school, would you give everyone wisdom to be able to fulfill the call and the role that you have in our various seasons? Jesus, I ask your protection over everyone here in our respective families. Would you assign your angels to our families for your kingdom and gospel purposes? And Jesus, would we be filled with joy and expectation this week of what you're going to be doing in and through our lives and our families? In your name, Jesus. Amen.